Hamas, the PA, and Groundhog Day. Why doesn't anyone in Cairo look happy on the historic occasion of signing a reconciliation deal in October 2017? Like the classic Bill Murray movie, Groundhog Day, Hamas and the Palestinian Authority hear their alarm clocks go off only to discover they are repeating the same events over and over. In their case, these events are their fantasy reconciliation, first tried in 2007, again in 2008, 2011, 2012, 2014, and now yet again in 2017. These words about the historic 2014 effort could have been written today. Still, could the seventh time be the charm? Just possibly. But what has changed? In a region where movements are the extension of leaders more than states, three major Palestinian players have chained themselves together and then, no doubt unintentionally, lost the disentanglement key. The first player, Yahya Sinwar, famed architect of the Hamas terrorism, took a governmental leadership role early in 2017. Facing the unexpected rebellion of thousands in Gaza this spring, who were driven into the streets by a desperation greater even than fear of their own leaders, Sinwar began reaching out, remarkably, to a childhood friend, but longer-time enemy, Mohammed Dahlan. Dahlan, a former Fatah security chief in Gaza, was long a bitter political and military foe of Hamas. However, Dahlan had been engaged in a multi-year internal war with PA leader Mahmoud Abbas over the latter's determined refusal to open a path for a successor, and Dahlan above all. Sinwar, with Dahlan's help, began searching for ways to pressure the PA, as well as secure direct aid for Gaza, from Dahlan's own sponsors in the UAE. If Sinwar and Dahlan believed the old man in Ramallah would buckle, they miscalculated badly. Abbas immediately cut PA's distribution of electricity to Hamas by 40% and added a series of other punishing actions. He even fired 6,000 of the PA's own employees in Gaza. Money, especially the lack of it, talks. Now, even more desperate, Hamas reached out to another enemy, President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi of Egypt. Hamas agreed to halt its long successful attrition of Egyptian security across a broad swath of the Sinai in return for Gaza infrastructure aid. Sisi agreed, providing that Hamas also signed on for reconciliation with Abbas, as well as broader Egyptian leadership of regional peace efforts. This converges with Egypt's own ambitions and need to be seen as a Sunni power broker across the Middle East and counterpoise to Iran. Good luck with that. Fast forward. The now fourfold tag team of mutual despisers crafted a marvelous reconciliation agreement that called for the Palestinian Authority to resume direct governance of the Gaza Strip while Hamas disarms. Anwar Sadat himself could hardly have done it better, and all this without apparent pressure from Israel, nor obvious involvement from the remarkable invisible American president. Lest it all seemed entirely fictional, Hamas leaked the signed agreement and entertained the PA in Gaza for the first time in a decade. All players professed, in unison, that the play must certainly go on, according to the plan. Yes, but whose plan? Yahya Sinwar had promised to break the head of anyone who stood in the way of the agreement, which sounded promising. Alas, he then proclaimed with still greater insistence that the discussion is no longer about recognizing Israel, but about wiping Israel out, adding for good measure that Hamas would disarm when Satan enters paradise. Oops. Neither Israel nor the famed quartet has greeted this with, shall we say, enthusiasm. So, recalling Groundhog Day, isn't this latest reconciliation much ado about less than nothing at all? Possibly not. This has become the first act in a new, highly consequential drama to determine who will take control of Palestinianism in the near future, given the shared failures of Hamas and the PA to deliver either victory over or peace with Israel. Like its kissing cousin, the interminable Palestinian-Israeli peace process, this latest intra-Palestinian reconciliation process may now be an unstoppable public relations fixture. Meanwhile, the three main players are glued together. Abbas will go, but he will most likely refuse to disappear until Dahlan has been denied the throne in Ramallah. For their part, Sinwar and Hamas need the PA as a foil for their military ambitions, and would prefer a compromised and dependent Dahlan as its head over someone who owes them nothing. Dahlan, of course, foresees Hamas' dependence on him. Meanwhile, Sisi loses nothing if reconciliation collapses, but stands to gain much, even from a modest positive result. Of the main players, who has been the winner to date? Conventional wisdom, as always, claims to know it's Abbas, followed closely by el-Sisi. Even if Hamas reneges on demilitarization, the PA seems to have gained the upper hand in Gaza. But there are a few who believe that Hamas has enticed both Abbas and el-Sisi into a cunning trap, aided, as usual, by Iran. As for the losers, sadly it remains the Palestinian people, as usual. Even those Palestinians who blame Israel recognize internal failures as the critical cause for current events. Both Hamas and Fatah are out of options. Their regional politicking was a failure, and their political program ceased to impress Palestinians who are feeling orphaned and abandoned. If our analysis proves right, this latest reconciliation process must provide a second and third act to follow the first. We will devote future posts as needed to analyze relationships between the major players over the coming months, as well as the curious invisibility of America's President Trump and the veiled visibility of Israel during these seemingly crucial days of negotiation. Meanwhile, set your alarm and keep an eye out for Groundhogs.